black tailgating nation. Definite devastation for devils anticipating. Rocking being complacent. Motherfucker, you crazy. Your marathon and you racing. You know this patience of greatness. If you study my latest, you know I'm not to be played with. Safest route is befriending me. Voodoo folks for my enemies. Similex for these similes. I be feeding these Winnie MCs. You meanie me's. Aiming at what you'll never see. I'm pure as can be. 12 disciples walk with them. Spirits come and talk with them. Satan show up. They gon' be talk with him. The heart of him beats for the soul of the people. Messiah leading the sheep. But still remind you we equal. This is hip hop. Toupe flow. Straight off the tip top. No pit stop. Showed up with the fifth cock. Bevin' out like six cocks. Who just stopped? The young nigga reaching for the asthma pump in his side. Hold your breath or get shot.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome to Across the Board. I'm your host, Slim Johnson.
It's your boy, Rakim Al-Jabbar.
We got a special guest today with us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
What's good, man? It's your boy, Paris Poussin.
You know what I'm talking about?
ADD.
ADD, you know what I'm saying?
Formerly.
You know what I'm saying?
Get that shit understood.
Get that understood. Let's make that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, let's get right into it, man. So tell the listeners, man, you know, how did you get started with hip-hop?
Man, honestly, when I was growing up, like, my mama, she listened to everything, you know what I'm saying, from old school R&B to soul music to rap to everything. Mm-hmm. So I was just always into music from the jump. And shit, you know, around, like, high school, junior high, started writing, like, poems, whack-ass poems and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then that shit eventually turned into me rapping and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I started putting, you know, I ain't know how to structure 16s and stuff back then. I was just rapping to the page, writing to the page was full. That's the song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I used to do it. But,
no structure.
Yeah, it all. But shit, it just kind of, you know, gradually grew from there.
Okay.
Do you remember your first rap?
My very first rap, I wrote that hoe when I was in the sixth grade. It was, I don't remember, I just remember lines from it. I remember something about riding Cherokee, because, you know, Cherokees was dope. I remember saying something about riding the Cherokee, and this was while I was still living in Memphis, too, so I had stayed in these apartments called Carriage House. Yeah. And I remember saying something about them and all the niggas. I remember speaking it for the older niggas too.
Because
all the older niggas used to be like always around.
Yeah.
So I remember speaking it for the niggas. Them niggas thought this shit was the greatest shit ever.
Oh, they were feeling you?
Yeah, like, I remember because like days had went by. They'd see me again, like, hey, that's still a little nigga. Spit that shit.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy, but I don't remember that whole word for word, but I remember it.
So that's where you're from? You're from Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been in Dallas since 2000, though, but yeah, I'm from Memphis. Half my family stay in Dallas, half my family stay in Memphis.
What part of Memphis?
North Memphis, Hollywood, Doolittle Village.
So who was your first favorite rapper? Like, when you start rapping,
my first favorite rapper might have... Honestly, my first favorite rapper was probably... Lazy Bone.
Lazy Bone.
Cause going off my memory, like, of course I knew rap songs before then, but like the one I just really remember, that first Bone album, I remember listening to that hoe every morning before I went to school. I was in like second grade. I remember listening to that hoe every morning before I went to school.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that Bone album, that first day, that shit was dope.
Yeah, it was.
That shit was dope, yeah.
And then, you know. Just kind of start picking up from everything else out of there, picking up on everything out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, old ass Triple C's. Like, Triple C's motherfuckers probably don't even listen to us. Ain't never heard. I remember listening to that shit when I was there.
Faces of Death and shit. That was the Bone shit. And then Triple C shit.
Because the nigga was beefing. The nigga was beefing.
I don't even know what Triple C did. I ain't gonna
Triple C Mafia. Triple C Mafia.
Triple C, yeah.
I remember
they was beefing with Bone and all that
time. They got this on the battle there.
Cause they felt like Bone took their style. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Was their style more similar than their style?
Well, you know, niggas was rapping fast back then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was a thing, you know. I cry for you walk around here. Man, but yeah, they was rapping fast and everything, and then, they was shooting diss records back and forth to each other, bro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know that shit. Mm-hmm. Girl, I'm about to go look this shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. But yeah, man. So Memphis. So what are the differences from Dallas and Memphis as far as the cities and the hip hop?
Man, as far as hip hop goes, it's just like a different type of influence. You know what I'm saying? Like Memphis and niggas is real. I always tell people I feel like even though Texas is more southern on the map, to me Memphis, as far as like culture wise, is actually more southern than Dallas is.
Okay.
But musically, man, it's just like everybody. Most people there was like the samples and stuff that they used to use. It was like old school, you know, player. Like for a long ass time, I thought Willie Hutch was from Memphis because so many people use his shit like in Memphis.
Yeah.
As far as songs and sampling go, I thought he was from Memphis for a long ass time. And then you know, as I got older, I knew he, you know, was from here or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just like the difference in music. It's not that big of a difference, but like just the style and people's approach from like Memphis to Dallas. Like Dallas is more like more. I wouldn't even say it's more fun because I always say Triple Six was like they created Crunk before Lil Jon.
Yeah.
So it was like niggas was always, you know, but that was like more of a riled up music taste, and then Dallas was like, I ain't gonna say it was laid back, but it was just a little bit more fun. Their music shield. I mean, Memphis music was. So.
Gotcha.
I can't really explain it, but it's not that big of a difference, but like just besides like beat picking.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And like niggas, it seemed like niggas was like more ferocious on the track, at least from when I was growing up.
Up there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas had even too much really made his own sound yet either, though. Like,
yeah.
Other than what Snake did with that bass shit, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But you had Miami bass at the same time.
Right.
So they get more credit for that than we do. But I don't feel like Dallas done really made a sound. This bitch like a combo. Like,
yeah, it is.
You get whatever you looking for.
It still is.
Yeah.
We got every element of hip hop is here, and we have everything a consumer will want.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can get it all here. You know what I'm saying? So as far as the Dallas hip hop scene currently, what are your thoughts on it?
To me, it's at kind of a low point. I ain't gonna lie. To me, it's kind of a compared to, you know,
where it was.
Yeah, about two, three, four, 5 years ago. It's kind of like a low point. It's still so much here though. You know what I'm saying? Like we was just saying, it's still so many acts, and you know, it's so many acts here. And there's so many different like type of genres and stuff, but it's just like it's not at a low point because of the artist. To me, it's at a low point. Yeah, it's not at a low point because of the artist. To me, it's at a low point because of, you know, the personnel and the opportunities that we get. Like, of course, it's a bunch of money out here, but that perfect opportunity or that right opportunity like rarely shows itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's literally like once in a lifetime shit that you're talking about.
Real shit. I feel like he's headed in that direction though. You know what I'm saying? I feel like certain people is gaining the attention and building the relationships with the people that matter to where we're gonna be able to put a few people in position to where it opens up that door for where we can have 20 artists come out here and be successful, you know what I'm saying?
I agree, but like I said, I feel like one of the biggest obstacles is the personnel.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, niggas, you know, they do that thing they do, managing or whatever it is that they do, but niggas is amateurs, bro.
We don't have people in this city.
Yeah.
Got tenure in the game, exactly. You know what I'm saying, that we can access.
Or if they are here, shit, they don't fuck around like that.
Nah.
Or they have their favorites and they don't fuck with.
Right.
Because I know it's a bunch of people that stay here.
Yeah.
A bunch of people. Mm-hmm. A bunch of, like, important label people. Mm-hmm. I know they stay in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they be out and about, but shit, they probably only run in certain circles.
Right.
And it seems like some of them only be fucking with people that they could manipulate.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
They go get a quick-ass check out.
Somebody with knowledge of the game. And know they business already, they don't go fuck with them because I can't pick them. I can't get over with them, so there's no point in me even dealing with him.
Yep.
Let me go get this motherfucker who don't know nothing. I can get my money out of him, throw him to the wayside, and go find another him and do that shit again.
Because that's all the labels been doing for years.
That shit crazy.
They find motherfuckers that really don't know too much of nothing, you know what I'm saying? And they put their dollar amount in front of their face, and you know what I'm saying? They run with it. You know what I'm saying? And they feed them crumbs. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think we got a lot of improving to do. I just think it's on like you said, on a level of the personnel. You know, because, like, you know, like on the East Coast, they got the Breakfast Club. They got the Angie Martinez show. They got Clay Slade. You know what I'm saying? They got all these platforms where these artists, when they release their projects, they go on these platforms and they've covered 6, 7, 8 regions. You know what I'm saying? And that's all they pretty much need is their media push to get their shit out there.
Shit, Dallas is a top 5 market.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, though. We have the market, but we don't have the proper tools in the market for us to flourish and be successful.
Because even doing the success that you had, when you put out your solo project, you got your first single. You ain't put it out yet. Like, you finna go release it. Can you go with K104 and get that time that you need?
I mean, shit, probably if you come in with a bag.
Right, but that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You yourself have already done that work. Groundwork you built so damn up. You should be able to go up there, hey, you let me promote it. They ain't gotta give you another 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
But see, the crazy thing about you saying that is, at the group's height, somebody from K104 told us we didn't even need
them. But you don't. But
in essence, you really don't.
Yeah, you don't. No doubt. No, nobody heard these them. That's why I'm surprised they picked up Yellow Beezy songs like that. Because everybody else, shit, is already playing around the entire country before they play it here. That's right. Ronnie, throw that ass in the sun. Mm-hmm. That bitch was a year old.
Mm-hmm. What's the name? Everywhere. Duro shit, that ice cream paint job.
That was already hot. Even Mo 3 shit was already hot. Long before they played it. Yellow Beezy shit, that bitch dropped this year. You know what I'm saying? And they playing it all already. Which lets you know he knows somebody. He got a connection. He got a direct plug to that motherfucker.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like I say, that's he a product of DJ Deuce.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? DJ Deuce, he, that nigga gets shit done, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every artist, you notice every artist that he done had through his situation, you know what I'm saying? They've had some form of success.
Yeah.
But they just haven't, you know what I'm saying, got over their hump. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that the whole stigma of Dallas artists, when some get success or get some form of success, their ego, you know what I'm saying, get the best of them. You know what I'm saying?
Either that or they was trash from the dump.
And they paid their way through.
Their ass was trash. Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, man. let's get into this, man, because I went and I saw... I think it was around this time last year. The last ADD show, right? Bomb Factory. DLC concert. DLC concert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw y'all perform along with Topic. Bobby Sessions was there. A couple of others was there. And y'all had the dopest set. Y'all rocked that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, all y'all rocked that shit. Like, it was really a, you know what I'm saying? Like nigga was at a hip-hop concert type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? so, when it come to the group and everything, what are your thoughts on the new album? I know it was recently released, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
the North America album. Jermaine said just on some inside shit, that hoe was unfinished.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, to me, it's not what it could have been if we was like wholeheartedly into it while creating. But you know, it's some high points on there, a couple songs that I fuck with.
Okay.
But it's a couple songs that, like, I feel like had we kept creating songs, then some of those songs wouldn't have even made it on there. You know what I'm saying? But I know we could have did better, but
yeah,
just chemistry wise it wasn't going out at the time.
Mm.
So to go back and bring it all the way forward, like, where did y'all start at? How did y'all meet?
He was literally the first person I met when I came to Dallas.
Word?
Yeah, when I was 13, he was the very first person I ever actually spoke to when I got there.
And then school was some shit.
Yeah.
What school?
He was in a 7th grade, I was in 8th grade. We went to Lake Highlands.
Oh, okay.
We had a gym class together and shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was short and big, but the fact that I was older than him and in a high grade, he was like, "You in 8th grade?" blah, blah, blah. And then it just kind of went from there. And then, small world, come to find out, he stayed in the same apartment I stayed in. I ain't even know.
That's some crazy shit, boy.
So, shit, just from then on, we had, been running and tightening up with each other.
Y'all both was rapping when y'all met already?
Nah. Thing is, his mama was, like, real religious and church-like. Okay. That nigga could barely even listen to rap. If he could get a CD, that nigga had to get an edited version. But he was just, we always be around each other and shit, and motherfucker used to just be freestyling, fucking around.
Yeah.
Back when DSR was real, real tough, and he just used to be fucking around like that, and that shit. After a while, nigga would be fucking around, and like, you hear some dope shit, you're like, damn, that shit was actually kind of tight.
Yeah.
And then, one day I told that nigga, cause like at this time, like I said, I was already doing like little poetry shit and trying to write half-ass write songs and shit. The influence was already there for me, but it was like something brand new for that nigga.
Yeah.
And shit, I had told him that, I was like, man, some of that shit you be saying, you kind of dope, nigga. Like, yeah. I bet if you took it serious, niggas gonna actually make some shit out of it. This one, we was like, shit, 16.
Yeah.
And then shit, after that, we just kind of started doing this shit, started writing this shit. And the older nigga who was around, he used to rap like motherfucker. At the time, we thought that nigga was one of the dopest niggas that, what I'm saying? Then had other older homeboys that rap and shit. And we just thought that nigga was dope as hell.
Yeah.
And them my niggas, but shit, I look back on this shit now, like, man, I don't know how you.
Yeah.
I'm for it the same way. Yeah. I think that's how you eventually look up to the older niggas that's around you.
Yeah.
You really just get into your skill, you know what I'm saying? So you looking like, and they really your first ball.
Right.
I think that's what it's about. Like, okay, these niggas, I think this nigga dope. I gotta get myself doper than him.
Yep.
Once you doper than that nigga, it's like,
really
the whole time you wait shit, nigga, I would turn your ass and chop your ass up.
Okay.
Yeah, babe.
So, when did y'all get to working on y'all first project?
Our very first project was in 2009. The manager at the time, Rosalinda, we met her, like, off some MySpace shit.
Mm.
Honestly, the way we met her was kind of funny. We used to just go through MySpace and just add all the motherfuckers and thought was cute.
Yeah.
We added her, and lo and behold, she actually got a whole studio and everything. Downtown, used to be called the 808 Studios.
Okay.
Whole studio and everything and shit. At the time, we had a... You know how you used to be able to upload your songs on MySpace and shit?
Yeah.
We had, recorded some shit, like, in some nigga closet in his crib or whatever. But we was doing that shit over, like, classic beats and shit. And then one of the ones that had caught her attention was when we did that shit on Electric Relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just kind of like, damn, like, who is these motherfuckers? What the fuck they know about Tribe Called Quest? They rapping on this shit. So, long story short, set this shit up and... She started managing us and shit. We kind of started. This was when like her and Jay Rose used to be like a tag team.
Okay.
So he pretty much produced like the whole album besides like 3-4 songs on it.
Okay.
And that was just our first stab. But a lot of people don't even know about it. It's called Power of the Tongue.
Power of the Tongue.
Yeah. And but shit, that's pretty much our introduction that threw us on the scene.
You said Jay Rose?
Yeah.
Produced that joint?
Yeah.
First project that came out working with Jay Rose
produced like the whole business.
I don't think y'all niggas understand.
That nigga Rose, that nigga be
honest. Okay, yes, that's what. Shout out to Jay Rose, man. He just got him a gold plaque.
Yeah, he been having a crazy ass couple years. he got the game placements and album.
Yeah, man, he been doing a good job. Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. So once y'all started gaining a little success from that first project, y'all started doing shows and started moving around, things like that. What was y'all first big, I guess you can say, moment that kind of put y'all, over the top kind of? Or to where y'all say, damn, yeah, we got to do this shit now. You know what I'm saying?
We opened for Wu-Tang at the Granada.
Okay.
And this was probably like, this was literally a year after we had dropped the first shit that nobody barely heard. This was a year after that. We opened for Wu-Tang at the Granada, and like, no bullshit. Till this, they gave us a long ass set too. For that was our first time ever performing at the Granada too.
Okay.
Like, a year after we jumped on the scene, we performed at the Granada a year later.
Yep.
And you know, like, that was like one of the biggest motherfucking moments ever at that point. Like, yep. Goddamn, like, it's like 1,200 people in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and then see, and from, you know, what I would later hear down the line, like, a lot of people were jealous about this shit. Everybody was like, damn, how these niggas get these places that I've been trying to get to? That, you know what I'm saying? They, like I said, they gave us like a 45-minute set.
That's what the fuck?
Like a 45-minute set, real shit. That we rocked the hell. Like, till this day, this was in 2010. December 10th, 2010, I remember. Till this day, motherfuckers still see me and be like, bro, y'all need to get way better than Wu-Tang tonight.
Yeah.
Till this day.
Yeah.
Real shit.
I believe.
Yeah. I mean, we showed our ass, and that was our first time there.
See that shit.
It's on video. It's on YouTube. I can pull it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got to check that shit out, man.
That was our first time at a venue that big and shit. That shit was crazy.
Because that's one thing I like about y'all. Y'all actually put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't just two niggas just standing there rapping.
Yeah.
Niggas put on a show. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, y'all started working on the next project.
Yeah, well, we pretty much the manager, like I say, at the time, she introduced us to Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, Picnic was with it. We pretty much got a whole motherfucking, and again, that was another thing that people was jealous of, like, cause you know, I guess he was real sought out. At the time, you know, he would only work with select people and shit, so when people saw that he was doing a whole album for us, I guess that made them feel a certain way. I mean, I know jealousy is probably like, you know, a common thing in this type of shit, but, you know, it didn't really hit me how much people wanted to do the shit we was doing until after we did. And then I realized, like, goddamn, I guess that shit is, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just in the moment. Exactly. Man. Exactly. Man. So, yeah, he, that album is what really got us notoriety, like, after pretty much I done dropped that album, we was in, like, Double XL magazine. What's the name of that one? When Pigs Fly. When Pigs Fly. Yeah, we call it that one, When Pigs Fly. And then, like, the concept behind that was, at the time, it was just like,
you know, at the time, we was really getting stigmatized for the dance music and shit.
Right.
Cause we started creating When Pigs Fly in 2010.
Uh-huh.
And we was really getting, you know, then we was just really getting stigmatized by the shit. So we wanted to call it When Pigs Fly on some, like, you know what I'm saying, nobody really pay attention to Dallas or take Dallas seriously on some rapping shit until Pigs Fly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Pigs Fly. When Pigs Fly.
I remember seeing this shit.
Yeah, so that's where that title came from and shit. You know, like I say, Picnic had his input on some songs and shit, and he produced every single track, and that, like I say, that shit got us notoriety as far as the Dallas Observer and Dallas Morning News, and you know that shit just really boosted our stock in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we kind of start building this scene. Like at the time, it was us and the Sore Losers.
Yeah, I was leading the scene at that time. So, shit, it was just, I mean, like I said, that shit was perfect timing. So what happens after that?
I mean, shit, a year later, when Peace Fly came out in, what, March 2011, shit, a year later, shit, we was on tour. We did a tour with Black Milk and shit, you know, went everywhere. I was like, any major city you can think of, we was in that hub. You know, doing motherfucking shows on the road with an album that had only been out a year. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, a lot of people probably don't even realize who we are. I know who we are, but we go on all these different motherfucking states and cities and literally winning the crowd over.
Was y'all selling, merch?
Our merch is stupid, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, the manager at the time, she had a real good business savvy.
Yeah.
So she knew exactly, like, she really helped mold the business. Well, shit, the business side was pretty much all her, you know what I'm saying? Like,
she did that shit. Like, we had limited edition albums that we unfolded them hoes, turned into a pig with wings. Like, all kinds of shit. She made them hoes. She made them hoes herself. Mm-hmm. You know, she just always had, like, a forward thinking in business.
Yeah, she was on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? She just always had a forward thinking in business. So, we was always on it. Yeah. Always.
So then when y'all come off the tour, now it's time to work on the next project.
Yeah, we got to working on the next project and shit, and which that was the one that was called Die Hard Fly Love. Right. And just in that process, motherfuckers start bumping heads and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
creatively?
Yeah, because she'll want us to talk about certain shit, or she'll want us to reword certain shit and say it like this, and, oh, don't put that out there, don't put your business out there like that. So
creative control.
Exactly. So, like, we feel like she overstepped her boundaries sometimes with the creative control and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got it. It was coming from a good place. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it was just unwarranted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I don't think people who are not artists don't understand that you can't fuck with my creative process. Even if I don't give a fuck about what you said, the fact that you said it to me can come up in my head when I am creating. You know what I'm saying? And you throwing me off my natural flow, like, let me do all, I prefer to let me do all this shit,
then
tell me at the end, like, you might want to not say that, and I can go back and change the shit, or alter what I feel like,
right.
I understand where you're coming from, other than that, don't tell me shit about my creative process.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure you probably got that now, but, you know, at the time, that shit just kind of make motherfuckers start bumping heads, and then shit, eventually she stopped managing us, and shit, we was kind of, and that was in the middle of us creating the second shit, and so we had to re-record everything, and, you know, bunch of shit, you know what I'm saying, we got it done, and it came out, and then that's when we threw that show at the Granada. We threw a show at the Granada. Right. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't opening for nobody. We didn't, you know, we wasn't special guests and other shit. Like, it was an ADD show with openers for us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We sold that bitch out.
Yeah.
We sold out Granada.
Yeah.
It wasn't no famous act in that motherfucker. It wasn't no
headlining.
You know, we wasn't headlining for Creed or no shit like that. Like, we sold that hell out.
How many do that whole shit?
I think it said 1,000. But shit, at the time, shit, that's crazy.
Who can do this shit right now?
That shit crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, what that shit can do.
I can show you the pictures of that shit, bro. That whole bitch was filled.
Now, I've heard this term as it relates to y'all around the city. And you guys have coined the Outcast of Dallas. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's a compliment, but I feel like people only said that because there was two of us, and because one was tall and skinny, the other one was short and stubby. I always feel like if I came out and rap by myself, like, before they knew it was a group, motherfuckers would be like, damn, he sounds like Big Boy. Damn, he reminds me of Andre. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think people just said that because of look and aesthetic, because, like, compared to everything else that was going on in the time, the shit we was dropping was like some Outkast shit. Yeah. It was like, this shit ain't like nothing else going on in Dallas.
Right.
Real shit. This shit ain't like nothing else going on in Dallas. Right. Fuck these niggas.
Right.
So I feel like that is kind of what helped drive people saying this shit, too. But, you know, that nigga kind of look like Andre, but I don't think people would have said this shit if it was like some one-off shit, if it was just one person.
Right.
Okay. But it's a motherfucking compliment, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, my favorite group.
Yeah, I can. Dope, man. And boy, and, shout out to 3000. You know, he resident here in Dallas now. So now, y'all, when did y'all started working on this last project?
Like late 2014.
Okay.
Late, honestly, it was probably around this time in 2014.
Okay.
We had dropped the North EP. It was just like a 5-song EP. We dropped that and kind of let that bubble. And in the midst of working on that, we kind of pretty much started working on the next extension of shit. Mm-hmm. And shit, I mean, we was going back and forth to Atlanta to record with a bunch of producers. Shout out Will Power and Anthem. and Solosity. And we was just going back and forth recording with a lot of them. And shit, we was in Stank on the studio recording and shit. I met Rico Wade.
Yeah.
I met Rico Wade, the motherfucker. I was this close to Big Boy, but was scared to talk to that nigga. I was like, man, that ain't right there. You know, our manager at the time, J-Dot, he was like, you want to talk to him? I'll talk to him. Let me go get him. And then, like, he went, that shit was crazy. That shit was crazy as hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, we was in Stank on your recording and shit. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, pretty much we was just going through the ups and downs of the recording and balancing real life and all that type of shit. You know, I don't want to get too personal on other niggas, but
yeah.
Niggas be having their issues and their dependencies and doing all that extra shit. But, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a give and take compromise type thing. Like, it was songs that we both fuck with. There's a lot of songs we didn't really fuck with then. We started reaching out to other people for production, so they kind of shifted the sound. Mm-hmm. Like, the sound got shifted on this project, like, probably 3-4 times, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of the songs, some of the songs we were doing were incomplete or not worthy enough to be put on an album from what we were trying to do. You know, like, at this point, niggas got a baby. I had a baby on the way. This nigga already had 4. It's like, shit, nigga, like, we gotta get to it.
Shit gotta go. Yeah,
real shit. Like, real shit. Like, and me, shit, I ain't never been one to, I don't want to work in a motherfucking 9-to-5, and I never do, but I was never one to stray away from that shit.
Yeah.
So, shit, you know, I had a baby on the way.
Yeah.
So I went and did what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of kept me out the studio at all times, and, you know, working and shit. But, and you know, I ain't never missed no show. When we had out of town shit, I never missed the out of town shit. But I don't know, just the chemistry while this shit was being created, it just kind of lost itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And again, I don't even want to get into the rumors and all the extra shit I was hearing at the time. You know what I'm saying? But I can probably tell y'all that shit off
the record. Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That shit that journalists be lying about. But yeah, you know, but shit, we had, you know, people sending us beats and shit. We come up with services, and some shit be straight, some shit wouldn't. And then, like I said, the disagreement and the sound and the direction.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know.
Brady, y'all grew apart, creative.
Pretty much, yeah. Cause like he, and then at the time he was working on like some solo shit. So my thing was like, niggas want to get rich and make masterpieces and shit, but you can't even focus on one thing at one time.
Yeah.
Can we focus on one project? This project that keeps getting delayed because it's supposed to come out in 2014.
Yeah.
That just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
That just came out yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
So this shit just kept getting prolonged and pushed back and pushed back. We had, you know, deals on the table and that kind of shit. Yeah.
So, okay, so with the album being out now, have you gotten any, heard any reviews from anybody?
I mean,
what do people think about it?
I mean, everybody say they fuck with it. You know, I don't know if they saying that because of the circumstance and the situation or if they actually fuck with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, people was hitting my Facebook page and my Twitter and they was leaving quotes and, you know, the lyrics that they, at least I know they listened to something. I know, you know what I'm saying? They was, you know, leaving and, you know, people saying it was cool. A lot of people fuck with it.
So would y'all, Are y'all still in communication?
I haven't spoken to him since before last Thanksgiving. So, a little after that DLC show.
Okay.
And before that, our basically was tight for the time y'all met.
Pretty much.
How many years is it?
Shit, I was 13 when I met him. So, 2000. So, shit, 16 years.
Yeah, 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Damn. So could you, when did you kind of foresee it going this route?
I did, and see, like, what a lot of people don't realize is, like, that shit was like a year and a half in the making. Like,
mm-hmm.
You can just,
okay, like, that shit don't happen.
Yeah, of course, that shit definitely went up. Right. Like, you know, that nigga was like my brother.
Yeah.
My real life brother.
Yeah.
But you know, you can just see shit, bro. Yeah. Niggas kind of start doing different things in their life and kind of start hanging with different people and, you know, doing, you know, that the success we had was straight. But to me, I was more realistic, and I guess people were saying pessimistic at the same time. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we killing shit, and we doing shit that niggas in the city ain't done, but niggas, have you bought your mom a house, nigga?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. We still got work to do.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it went to his head. And it wasn't like he thought we was already famous and shit. Yeah, it was just like that ego inflated like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And throughout the city, it was seen. Yeah. And a lot of people didn't really appreciate that shit. So it kind of started tainting our name and shit. You know, like I said, this was a year and a half in the making.
Yeah.
So it was like, I had been seeing shit for a long time. My thing was like, bro, this is my motherfucking brother. Like, yeah. Real shit. Like, this nigga knew my grandma and my uncles fuck with that nigga. Like, when I go to Thanksgiving dinners, the family asked where that nigga at.
Yeah.
Like, we was, that's how close we was. You know what I'm saying? But shit, I just started seeing a bunch of changes and shit. And, you know, it wasn't one of them situations where I just let this shit go. I ask questions. I say, yo, what's up with this? What's up with this? Like, shit, is we good on this? Or, you know what I'm saying? Is this straight?
Yeah.
We need to step out and go chill with each other. What's up? Like, you want to get away from the studio and go kick it or get a drink? Like, you need to talk to me. I used to do that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That nigga never did that shit to me.
You were trying to manage the situation.
Yeah, because my thing was, I understood why he did, said, and acted the way he acted.
Right.
Because of the situation in his life that he was in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just like, niggas just want to do anything for a buck.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what it was, you know, I disagreed. So that kind of put a wedge. And she was like, so that nigga started doing shit on his own. It was like, some of the shit just wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to do every fucking show that come through.
Right.
Every show that's wrong with us, we don't have to do, because some of this shit don't even make sense.
Right.
Right.
It gotta make sense. Yeah.
Exactly. At the statue you say we in, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we the shit and came by fucking us, why the fuck are we settling for a ring of dance shows and shit? Because you in the bottom. Or because you need money to get through the
compromise
shit.
Compromise the
brand. Yeah, exactly. You compromise the brand.
Man.
I was gonna say, I think that's where people drew that Outkast comparison from too. Cause I watched the game today in Dallas, period, and studied. Y'all niggas got two different vibrations from the gate. So it's like, this nigga this type of way, this nigga this type of way.
Yeah.
And then as y'all rose up through the rankings, what you're saying was absolutely true. That shit was obvious in the city. Like, I don't remember what it was I seen specifically. I ain't gonna touch on it all the way in detail.
I can only guess.
But I seen it, and it's like, damn, this nigga vibe is nothing like this nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And this nigga vibe is a vibe where if you come, when you do that shit, for one, you get back what you give out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you get back what you give out, you gonna give out that vibe in the wrong area.
Mm-hmm.
To the wrong motherfucker.
Yeah.
You gonna get that shit back.
Yeah.
You're not even ready for it.
Yeah.
I know it did. When I seen it,
a few times.
More than just like, gonna check that shit, bro. It's gonna be bad. Like, and that shit unnecessary. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of people thought that nigga thought was my thoughts. Because we was in a
group. They doing
right. See, that's what they
don't.
That'd be the thing. That'd be a thing, bro, when you're dealing with groups, man. You got to be mindful of the other individuals that's in the groups.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
See, we always, you know, like I said, I don't want to get too personal with this shit, but we just always have to put a nigga to the side and be like, hey, bro, chill with this. Don't do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, calm the fuck down. Let the shit play out. And like I said, this was, man, over the span of like 3 years ago. Like,
yeah.
That shit was nothing new.
Yeah.
But getting older and shit, bro, like, nigga, I'm trying to, like, we gotta get to it, my nigga.
Right.
Like, all these rumors on here, and don't look like you trying to get to it with me no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't even like calling rumors, because I know it's the truth.
Right. Yeah.
I know it's the
truth.
Yeah. You just want it to be on, just be one for you.
A lot of this shit people was telling me was like, nigga, that can only come from him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, again, it was never one of those things where I never brought it up. I asked him, he was like, hey, bro, I ran into this nigga here. He said, this. He said, you somebody doing this. Nah, you know how that shit be. You know, niggas be hating. Niggas gonna always make up shit to try to put, you know, split us up and all this shit. But, you know, that won't work nothing, because, nigga, clearly I wouldn't trip.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Looking at the situation,
so,
I wouldn't trip it out.
So, were you kind of like, well, I can't say you were kind of caught off guard. You know what I'm saying? But were you in a sense that it even got to this point where y'all not speaking?
Yeah, very much so. It's funny that we always said this shit, but I guess I was the only one that actually meant it. We was always like, shit, nigga, because we were just watching niggas break up. Like, we watched the Soul Losers break up, and we, you know, seeing other niggas break up, and then the speculation of Outkast not being good shit. So, it was a subject we talked about, or people would bring up around us, and every time it was like, shit, man, hell nah, they like my brother, we brothers. Shit, if the shit ever came to that, we'd box.
Yeah.
And I guess I was the only one that was actually serious about boxing to save the group, because that nigga never wanted it.
Yeah.
That nigga never wanted it. Like, I ran into him a couple times since then. But it's not like I'm trying to fight the nigga for breaking up the group.
Yeah.
I'm fighting because it's a bunch of shit I heard.
Yeah.
And you have to see that shit and stop lying and make it seem like you didn't say this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people think I'm mad because the group is up. I'm not, because honestly, I saw it coming.
Yeah.
And out of the way, I just didn't prepare I didn't properly prepare myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it was, I always felt like the bigger we get, the more money we can actually make to stabilize this nigga life. We be straight.
To where everything else will balance out.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. And I know that sounds crazy because they always say the more money make you fucked up. But to me, it would have been the opposite for that nigga.
But you know what? It'd be kind of, I mean, he's not wrong for thinking that, because you know how, I mean, you look at different groups. Everybody got that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Wu-Tang, they had ODB. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We saw antics from ODB, but they probably seen that shit years before we did and just knew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had the certain things they had to put up, you know what I'm saying? But like you say, they got to a point where they were able to maintain and manage. You know what I'm saying? That situation.
And then, you know, said people gravitated towards ODB for
right.
Shit he used to do. So that only helped him in the long run.
Right. Man, so where are you at now as an artist? Are you working on any solo things, or what's next for you?
I've done a couple features. I did one with Jack Freeman from Houston. I've done a bunch of shit with my nigga Tunk. Shout out to Tunk.
Okay.
And a bunch of shit with my nigga Megazord. And then, like,
you write all this shit?
Yeah, I just fucking.
Nah, I know, I just want to say that you're not.
I did like this remix to Ricky Blue shit. Ricky Blue from Pleasant Grove.
Yeah.
He's in LA now. I did a remix of one of his songs, and then, like, other than that, the only actual solo song I dropped on my birthday, August 27th, it's called Hell of High Water.
Hell of High Water.
Yeah, produced by Domino. So
that's on iTunes, SoundCloud, or?
SoundCloud. It's on SoundCloud. Okay. SoundCloud.com/ParisPMusic.
Okay.
Yeah, that shit on there. And, you know, but I'm sitting on a couple songs as far as the solo thing goes. Like, I kind of know my niche, and I know, like, the type of sound I'm looking for. It's just hard to find. At least in Dallas it is.
Talking about the producer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy thing is, I mean, I know a couple that can make it happen, but they're in Atlanta.
Yeah,
but but it's a bunch of gems here. Like, I guess certain shit, you know, it kind of shifted me to a different sound. It's kind of dope. But, you know, honestly, just the hardest part right now is finding an inspiration. And with me, my inspiration usually comes from the sound that I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So the hardest part for me is just finding inspiration. So I'll write some shit, like, you know, 3 days straight, get a bunch of shit going, then probably go on a month hiatus without writing something. So,
yeah.
It's just the inspiration. And I realize that I'm by myself now, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't like the other person pushing me along, or, you know, he coming over the hook that I fuck with, so it's like, oh, cool, I can just write this shit now, or, you know, you know, me doing either or vice versa, you know what I'm saying? But, so it's like, now I gotta be that person and be myself.
Yeah.
I have to push myself like a motherfucker since I'm on my own. Now, if I'm still trying to do this shit, you know what I'm saying? If I'm seriously still trying to do this shit, I gotta completely change the way I approach it, and that determination just have to get, like, skyrocket.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just like, that's been the hardest part for me. I gotta be way self-motivating and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the hardest part for me at this point. But other than that, Now I'm working on some shit, man. I got, like I said, I got a bunch of little ideas and half songs written, you know, 16 bars written, and I got a hook. I got a bunch of unfinished shit.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it, bro. Like, my niggas try to keep me going. Like, my niggas Tongue, my nigga Mays, they keep me going for real. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta stay pushing her, man.
Yeah,
definitely, definitely. For real. Real, man. Because you, man, like, y'all have actually done some things that a lot of artists still, you know what I'm saying, they still trying to hit that mark.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because just alone, man, y'all, just with y'all recording in Stank on these studios, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's
that's hard.
Man, yeah, that's, you know what I'm saying? For real. You know what I'm saying? And y'all definitely brought an energy to the scene here that's was definitely needed. And I know it's definitely going to be missed as far as the y'all bands.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, y'all have a core of fans that are really hip-hop fans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference, man. You got listeners. You got people that, you know what I'm saying, listen to it and whatever. But y'all have really hip-hop fans that have come to y'all shows and really support, you know what I'm saying, what y'all was doing, man. And I think as long as you keep providing that music, they going to still support you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's something that can't go away. The music is what's gonna keep that legacy alive, and it's gonna actually propel you. You know what I'm saying, to where you need to go. Because if you look at like the whole Outkast situation, again, I hate to keep comparing y'all like that, but Big Boy, he went ahead and continued his creativity.
Right.
From, he done dropped, I think, 3 different albums since then.
Yeah, I mean, I always say that he get a look for this shit, too.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
Because Sir Lucian Left Foot, that one hard.
Man, that album was dope as shit.
Yeah. You know, he get a look.
That album was dope. And it did go platinum.
Yep.
It did go platinum. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I think, man, you'll be straight, man. I'm ready to hear some new shit from you. As far as I want to hear a whole project just from you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I get that a lot. I get like a lot of people tell me this shit. A lot of people be like, man, I'm excited to hear what you got coming. You know, you on your own. You know, motherfuckers stay the obvious, you on your own, have a lot, but I'm excited to see what you can come up with. So.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, I'm working on it. I got a couple songs I'm sitting on. A bunch of concepts and shit. The sound I'm looking for is just like, because at this point, I don't want to, it's already like starting over from the jump because I'm by myself now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know I have a little bit that I can trampoline off of. Mm-hmm. So if I'm planning on doing it, I got to have that right sound because, you know, now I'm trying to get famous on my own. So I'm trying to bring shit to the masses, to the nationwide masses on my own. So I have to make, you know, quality shit.
Who would you want to work with? Who is
that's
somebody?
That's like a famous motherfucker.
Well, just period. Who is somebody that you haven't worked with that you may want to go in and vibe with?
You mean like in the city or?
Just anywhere.
I fuck with Fat Pimp. I think I got a song that I want him to be on, but I fuck with his shit. You know, In the city, I fuck with a lot of people in the city. Like, we got songs, unreleased songs with Young Nation. We got songs with Prince Rick and Trill Lee. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, we fuck with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Fuck with, I mean, you know, Topic Tunk, all them niggas and shit. Street, Young, I don't know, everybody, you know what I'm saying? It's really not too many people I haven't worked with in the city, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But, shit, nationally, man, that list long as hell.
Yeah.
That list long as hell.
If you could create a project with one producer, who would it be?
Right now?
Yeah.
Like at this moment?
Yeah.
could lock in with whatever producers you could lock in
right
with
now
and create right now, who would it be?
Shit. Probably Willpower from Atlanta or Tyler the Creator.
Tyler the Creator.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That nigga beats. Like, niggas might not really fuck with his raps, but that nigga beats, man. Them hoes be.
Yeah.
Them hoes be straight.
Okay.
But, shit, I don't know, TDE, motherfucking rosters of producers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rosters of producers and shit.
What do you, so what do you listen to now as far as, you know, hip hop? Who's in your car? Who's in your playlist?
Shit, man, I be listening to all of the older shit, honestly. Like, yeah. You'll see me in the red light. I might be playing, like, Blueprint 2 or some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I fuck with a lot of the new shit, but a lot, I have, like, this music system. All the shit that I really, really fuck with, or pretty much, I have, like, I still got a CD case in my car. The big bits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All the shit that I wouldn't download, or all the shit that I would actually want in album form, I go buy that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like the physical. I go buy the physical.
Yeah.
And then on my iTunes and shit, the shit that I buy off iTunes, I buy like nigga singles, you know, quickly mixtapes, like you know, if Meek Mill drop a song, or even though I'm listening, if somebody drop a song tomorrow that I fuck with, you know, I go buy that hoe, whatever. And I put that shit on my phone. So I got like 800 songs on my phone. And then I got like 300 albums in my car.
Yeah. Okay.
So I listen to a bunch of shit every time. If it's good and it's new or old, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with it.
Okay. So you say you don't listen to me?
He said this shit. Must be a Drake fan.
I mean, Drake is hard, but I've never even made it through a whole Drake album before.
Nobody does.
Yeah, man, you fell asleep.
Somebody do.
That nigga been running around this house since 2010.
You good?
Yeah.
Got the views.
Yeah.
Okay, so look. Then, before we get out of here, what's your top five?
Top five what?
Rappers. Your top five?
I don't have one. As long as niggas know that Jay-Z is great.
Okay, I'll fuck with that. That's the answer.
Like, man, that top five shit, so, man, I hate arguing over this shit. Like,
nah, I wouldn't have been doing it.
Nah, I
just be wanting niggas to get her to where, like, if you're gonna give your genuine top five, because most niggas lie, this shit be generic.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Tupac, Biggie.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't put Tupac or Biggie in my own.
I don't think they're in my head.
He didn't either.
Yeah, I did.
You know what I'm saying? The nigga gonna be honest about this shit. I don't want none of the generic ass top five. Like, yeah. Keep it real. That's everybody true. Like different people.
Right.
But yeah, as long as Jay-Z is the first one on the list, man, you don't even matter.
Yeah.
I think Ho the greatest rapper of all time.
Definitely.
this nigga's top five and said Fab, bro.
I know a lot of people, and he emulated Jay. I know a lot of people that got Fabulous in their top five.
Bro, Fab Hard.
Man.
Fab Hard. But he ain't Jay.
Not him.
You know what I'm saying?
He wanted me.
Definitely. But who don't?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No comment, man. Man. Well, yeah, man. We so appreciate you stopping by, man. Yeah, let everybody know how they can find you, man.
Man, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/ParisPMusic. Twitter, Instagram, Paris Machine.
Okay. That'll work, man. And, you know what I'm saying? We wish you much success on everything, brother. You know what I'm saying? Hope we get some dope music, you know what I'm saying, dope project here soon.
Yeah.
We appreciate everybody tuning in. This has been Across the Board. I'm your host, Chanel Johnson.
It's your boy, Rakim Al-Jabbar.
We don't do no drinking.
No.
All right, peace.